New Zealand has been confirmed by industry sources as the primary location for a massive new TV series on Lord of the Rings. It is by Amazon, and it was a toss-up between here and Scotland. It will be a $1.5 billion production. But the film industry is a heavily subsidised industry. Subsidies are a precondition of entry and vying for these massive American film deals. David Parker said that Amazon was offered the Major Screen Production Grant, a subsidy scheme that provides up to 25% refund in tax for international productions. So, is it still worth New Zealand having the production here? Are we giving these companies more than they give us? Nadine, you first. Up to a quarter rebate, 25%. That's a big subsidy.
It is a big subsidy, but I would say it is worth it. That if you cast your mind back to when the Lord of the Rings film trilogy first began and take a look at what our tourism numbers were like back then, and compare them to today, where tourism is now our biggest export earner, and the two are incomparable. And that is publicity that money can't buy. Remember when the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, was on Stephen Colbert's show just recently, and the first thing that comes up is Hobbiton. So I just think it is a huge rebate.
But the subsidies
obviously, you're lining the pockets of wealthy people. But
you certainly are.
But they have their choice of anywhere, and almost every jurisdiction will offer them that kind of incentive, because
every jurisdiction offers them that. And the reason being is that it's not like we're saying, come here, we'll pay you $300,000 or $300 million. We're not doing that. We're saying, come here and spend $1.5 billion on your production, employ 1,000 people on a constant basis for 5 years, up the profile of everything we're making, and we'll give you a return on your money of 300 or 300 million.
What other industry gets such massive subsidies?
That's not the point. That's the way it works. $1.2 billion comes into our coffers and into New Zealand's economy as a bare minimum for those productions.
We'll go to a guest soon.
That we would have, that we would not ordinarily have.
New Zealand's taxpayer forked out nearly $600 million to Hollywood producers since 2010. There have been a few studies looking at whether it is money well spent, with no clear view coming through.
You're using the wrong term. It's emotive and it's incorrect.
All right. Okay. Well, with that, let's go to Dr. Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative. Dr. Crampton, welcome to the panel.
Thanks for having me.
You've taken a look at this issue previously. Maybe you can answer that first. Why is this industry so subsidy reliant?
Well, internationally, the other panelists have been correct. There are a lot of subsidies. Film companies will often sort of pit countries against each other in competitive bidding for how large subsidies will be put on offer to attract productions, and the film companies do rather well out of that. Film is seen as a fairly prestigious thing. Everybody's happy when they're mentioned on television, or if they can see sort of the intersection near where they grew up as part of the back shot in a movie somewhere. Makes people happy. They're happy to keep themselves in that, so that helps to drive some demand for that subsidization. Really, there's not going to be as much international filming here if we weren't playing that game. The better question then is whether it's a game we should be playing at all.
That's right. So, is it? Is the sub? You've heard the heated argument here on the panel. Is the subsidy, these hundreds of millions of dollars lining these Hollywood moguls, is the money worth it?
Well, I guess it depends what you're trying to achieve with it. There was some work that was done by MB, commissioned by MB and undertaken by Saperi, who thought that it was worthwhile. But you can wonder a little bit about some of the assumptions that went into it and how they came up with the numbers. So in 2019, New Zealand is shelling out about $114 million in international screen production grants. In 2020, they've budgeted $172 million on this. The regime goes back a long time, though. So National had been doing this previously. There's the 2006 Labour government that is mad that Treasury was telling them not to do this. The Saperi report was arguing that we'd have something like 92% of international film production that just wouldn't happen here in the absence of the subsidies. And then they assumed that we'd have some pretty high losses because workers that are currently well-trained to work in the film industry would have to accept lower wages elsewhere, pretty obviously, otherwise they wouldn't be in the film industry, or they might move overseas to work on films there. So on that kind of a static case, maybe you could argue it. And you could maybe argue it around some of the really big ones that might have tourism promotion potential.
Right.
It was based in the United States when the Lord of the Rings series came out, and New Zealand was everywhere on that. You start wondering about it a little bit more in two contexts, though. Not every film is like that. So the sequence of Avatar sequels that are based in CGI worlds that have nothing to do with New Zealand, I can't see how that plausibly drives any good feeling towards New Zealand. I can see it generating a lot of ill will from people who hate Avatar, who have seen the first movie and have rational expectations about the next ones. And you can also wonder about it where we're investing huge amounts in training the next generation of film workers, right? So
sure.
It's this weird catch-22 where every time we justify more subsidy to the film industry saying, well, we've got all these people employed by it who would be earning less if they had to be doing something else and they'd have to retrain and it'd be terrible. But then we've got all of these film schools that are training the next generation of hostages to the continued film subsidies. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, as just briefly before we let you go, just sort of do and say, look, echoing basically what Nadine and Peter says, if New Zealand wants to be a venue where international productions come, we either have an incentive regime, which every other country does, like Australia and New Zealand, or we don't, and productions don't come. It's pretty simple, really, isn't it?
Well, you might still have some here. I remember, if we look back to the 80s reforms, right, every country in the world was subsidizing agriculture, and we proved that we could have an agricultural country without subsidies, and we were successful despite it. There would be a decline in the international productions coming here, but there are still some natural advantages here. And do we really want to be in that particular game when there the losses for the activity that isn't happening here because we're putting money into film subsidies instead, those get harder to quantify.
It's just on a final note, I mean, as Nadine said, the offspring earnings, my gosh, The Hobbit, it's meant nearly $80 million to the Matamatapiaka district annually and tourists from around the globe. It's massively popular, 600,000 visitors a year, a staff of 300, large majority of locals and young people. Before that, what was Matamata? Racing, horses, and dairy farming.
Yeah, they have one decent brewery there too, as I understand.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
you can also bring in the Game of Thrones to this equation as well, because, I mean, the Croatia, Ireland, they've experienced the same thing with that particular scenario, which, you know, shot there over 8 years. Now, this is probably an even larger production, but it's going to be largely shot within New Zealand. So many, many locations within New Zealand will be driving that, not just Matamata.
Right. Eric, we'll have to let you go, but thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Eric Cranger from the New Zealand Initiative. So you on the side of having these mega productions here.
The one thing that has always caused me pause when it comes to this is not actually the tax rebate. It's when they started looking at changing labour laws to accommodate overseas productions, like with the Hobbit law, right?
Well, yeah, let's not get into politics. That's another whole other ball game.
It's another panel.
That's real sway, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's a particular government that decided to make some changes. Yeah, look,
One final note to both of you. Why don't we say to these mega productions, you know what? You can stick your subsidy. We're going to put a grant. We're going to put $200 million into wholly indigenous film.
What a great idea.
Local
and
film.
And I would scream absolutely to the heavens to say, if you're going to give $300 million, put it into local production.
New Zealand stories, brilliant. Smaller scale, sharper films.
Whole lot of new directors. There's a raft of talent out there.
Do I have an idea?
Yeah, man, we've been shouting this for years.
Oh.
You have to have both.
It depends on how you quantify what the benefit is. Like, that obviously has huge cultural benefits, but in this case, what they're chasing is some kind of economic return.
And yeah, but you're also going to have, I mean, when you look at the size of the project, you're going to have enormous numbers of directors working on this. You're going to have enormous numbers of actors. You're going to have enormous numbers of technical people coming in and out, and they are going to be grown in that industry and move on from it. So you're talking 5 to 10 years of work here and that is a massive basis for a monster international industry.